Sunday Morning Cornerback, Colorado Review Edition. Gary Pasquis joined, as always, by Daryl Rideau. And Daryl, we're going to start off this podcast talking about Cody Kessler. When you're throwing 7 touchdowns in one game, setting a new mark for USC football, you deserve to open up the podcast.
Absolutely, and Cody Kessler deserves all the praises, considering the amount of criticism that he's gotten from me in weeks past, he's gotten from the media, but more importantly, the criticism and the challenge that he got from his own coaching staff, led by his own head coach, Steve Sarkisian. But talk about responsibility. Talk about getting off to a blitzing start, going 19 of 27. Of the 19 completions, 7 were for touchdowns. You couldn't have asked for a greater start. And that greater start couldn't have been more special than what he did in that first quarter, Gary.
It was as good of a first quarter as you were going to have. 28 zip at the end of it. You brought up a good point, though. Sarkisian challenged him last week to open it up a little, and I think we clearly saw that. He was spreading the ball well, and we talked earlier, you were talking about challenging the middle of the field as being a key early on to get the passing game going.
Yeah, because when you think about what makes this offense go, and we all want to give credit to Buck Allen, because Buck Allen truly is the cowbell of this offense, but it's the decision. Decisions that Cody Kessler makes. Even though at times the defense will give you something such as the check down, a bubble screen. Well, sometimes you just got to believe that your dudes are better than their dudes and that you're going to throw them open. And I saw a purpose, a determination in the eyes of Kessler this week, his swagger. He challenged, he looked down the middle of the field and he challenged the middle of the field, which opened things up. And when you spread the ball around as much as he did, giving other guys opportunities to really contribute in a game like this, it has a trickle-down effect to this team. It opens up the running lanes for the running game, which allows for Buck Allen to go for over 100 yards. It allows for Justin Davis to now get his touches and get close to 100 yards in rushing. But more importantly, it takes pressure off your defense too, because they're defending the lead as opposed to really being in the trenches and playing not to make mistakes.
I want to ask about that really quick. I talked to a couple players about that last night. When the offense gets out to such a big lead, as a defender, does that mentally impact you one way or the other?
Yes, because now you start thinking, okay, now is the time we can pad our stats. You know you're up. You're defending the 28-point lead. You can pin your ears back. It leads opportunities for sacks. As a result of that, the pressure that you're going to now get from that defensive line in the secondary, you're alert because you know at any point balls are coming to you. When it's a close game, teams can stay in their own game plan, whereas when your offense jumps on top of somebody the way that they did and they're dictating the game, it forces other teams to become one-dimensional. So it does have a trickle-down effect. But just to kind of give my final thoughts on Kessler, and what I love most about him is when you think about that Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks that have come before him, Carson Palmer, the Matt Leinarts, the Matt Barkleys, and even Mark Sanchez, those who've come before him, many of those that we mentioned had thrown for 6 touchdowns in a game. Kessler does it in 3 quarters, throws for 7 touchdowns, and makes it look so effortlessly.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I think that's the key part, is the effortless part.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it was being forced.
Nope.
I would have liked to have seen him out a series or two before. I mean, we could say that, but that's nitpicking. But it just seemed like it was in the flow. And what this really, to your point of spreading the ball around, what I really noticed in this game is when you do get the ball to everybody, like it just seems like that works. And it's something you and I were talking about earlier. It seemed like the blocking of the wide receivers, when you're getting your touches, you're a little more willing to throw a block every now and then.
When you're getting your touches and you're dialed into a game like this, Gary, make no mistake about it. Everybody's alert. Everybody on the sideline is feeling good about themselves, high-fiving. So now when you ask a receiver who got his touches, got in the end zone, or maybe, a key reception, the beauty of that is when you ask them, when Buck Allen rushes, has a 38-yard touchdown, the way that that play was designed, it allows for a number of things to occur. One, it allows for the coaching staff to be very creative on their play selection, what they're doing with personnel on the field. And on that play where Buck Allen ran for that 38-yard scamper, what we saw on that play is going to keep teams up, including Utah next week. We saw Aguilar in the backfield, which I hadn't seen since the Kerry Colbert, Steve Smith days, of a receiver truly being in the backfield, being a threat, aligned next to or on the opposite side of Buck Allen. But we also saw Juju Smith coming down in motion, Gary, and cracking the defensive end, which then allowed for the two offensive linemen to pull, and really it just became a chariot race to the end zone.
Yeah, and then Nelson threw a nice block downfield.
Nelson threw a nice – yes, but you saw the effort that he put in coming down the field to create that opportunity. What you like about that is it's all because of what happened in the first and second quarter, the way that Kessler got everybody involved, got everybody feeling good about that opportunity. I love that.
Let's talk about a few receiver numbers. I want to focus on one. Nelson, obviously a huge day. 6 catches, 128, and 3 touchdowns. You tip your hat to that
no
matter
Nelson
what.
That's Nelson being Nelson.
That's right Nelson there. Being the really good Nelson. Steven Mitchell, his first touchdown catch. It was a beauty catch.
Yes.
That was a really nice one. Love seeing the freshman Bryce Dixon. I got 2 catches. I got 2 touchdowns. What more do you want from me?
What more do you want from that? And before we go on, you know what that does for recruiting? It says freshmen are getting involved. That could be me next year. So if it's between me and another school, I see the way that USC incorporates things. So yes, kudos to the coaching staff for getting those guys involved early.
Let's keep it on freshmen, because I want you to love up on your fellow Rabbit, Juju Smith. That was a really nice game for Juju yesterday. And what's more impressive, for those who don't know, that one-handed catch that he made, he has a banged-up thumb. He was wearing a soft cast underneath his glove, and that's the hand he caught the ball with.
Just talk about being selfless. You know, Juju Smith epitomizes that. He came in as a two-way player, much like Adoree Jackson. You know, there was talk about maybe him playing some safety, but really, I think Sark alluded to it. A size and a frame like that, and we talked about this too. Mm-hmm. A size and a frame like that, you can't pump that up in practice. You can't build that. You either have that size and frame and can play with it and be productive with it, or you can't. And Juju, in my opinion, and not to take anything away from the other 9. Okay, who played prior to, because that 9, Marquise Lee, is exceptional as a playmaking wide receiver. But Juju Smith may be the most complete receiver as a freshman coming in as USC has had. His ability to go across the middle of the field, bang his body in, come down like I talked about, crack back in on a larger defensive lineman, making those tough-handed catches with a sore thumb, Gary, he might be the most complete receiver that we've seen. And that says a lot, because if you think about just the history of USC producing that kind of talent, pound for pound, he's still growing into his frame. So if this is what we're getting now, watch out for when he has a true off season and he can grow into that body.
Let's make a quick comparison. You were there for a freshman, Mike Williams.
Yes.
Obviously, Juju and Mike, they are different body frames and
they're
different styles of receiver. But in terms of freshman impact, we're starting to see Juju, you know, get...
Yeah.
What do you see between those two players? What do you see similar? What do you see different?
Well, what I noticed about Mike, having covered him in practice, Mike, it took him a few games to really get into it and develop the confidence to know that he can go into a game and dominate a game. Mike needed his touches and Mike needed to be loved up. But once Mike got going midway through the year, he was as productive as anybody in the country.
Sure.
And he really forced teams to draw attention to him. Whereas from day one, Juju Smith comes into a game, makes an impact, understands his role, making the hard catches, complimenting. He doesn't always get the glory of touchdown opportunities. We'll attribute that to Aguilar.
Sure.
However, it's Juju's ability to keep teams balanced on the opposite side and doing all the gritty things that Mike would never do. We had to hide Mike in the slot because Mike couldn't always get off the ball at the point of attack when bigger corners defended him. Juju doesn't have that problem. You can play him anywhere. You can play him in the slot. You can play him in the Z, which is off the ball on the same side as the tight end. Or you can play him at the split end X position, and he can handle his own. That's why I say that he is probably the most complete receiver as a freshman coming in, a true freshman, that we've seen in a number of years.
It's impressive stuff. We've talked a lot about offense.
Yes.
Before we go, let's talk a little defense. I know you always want to do that.
Yes.
And we're going to go in the secondary and talk about Gerald Bowman.
Oh, man, I can't say enough about him. Just the history of how he got to USC and what he has meant to this program. He is truly the glue of this secondary because of his ability to protect the deep side. Sua Craven will get all the attention, all the accolade, and Adoree Jackson, I talk about him week in and week out because he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
But one play to highlight and illustrate that you cannot talk about Gerald Bowman without mentioning his range. Wearing the number 27 reminds me a lot of Jason Leach, but his ability to get from the hash into a pocket where quarterbacks will always have success in a cover 2. And in this game, The ball was thrown at the one point where neither Kevon Seymour could not get to or Bowman shouldn't have gotten to. 21 yards in a pocket where the ball was completed successfully, but then you come in, full head of steam, a legal hit, pop the ball out. I thought the receiver was one of those Pez candy machines, Gary, the way that that ball popped out of it, hit the head, jolted back, and then again, it was a clean hit, but that just shows you the type of physicality that he plays with, and putting that type of play on film will cause receivers to think twice about either coming up the field or coming across the middle. I love his game.
He has really matured, and now that he's healthy, let's make sure to clarify that.
Yeah.
His first couple years at SC, he fought through a lot of injuries, but boy, we're really seeing what a healthy Gerald Bowman can do, and like you say, it's a lot of fun to watch. For Darryl Waddell, this is Gary Paskowitz. You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Cornerback.